Hey there, how you doing? Good afternoon and welcome back to the only true democracy in talk on the Progressive Voices Network and everywhere else that you listen to the Leslie Marshall Show. I am she, your host, but today we have in the house with us one of many special guests, and we're going to be talking with Kristen Heidelbach-Terremoto. She is a 15-year veteran of the Teamsters, and she currently heads the Teamsters State of California Cannabis Division. Now, when I first read about this, this first came to my attention. It raised an eyebrow, and I thought, well done, Teamsters. And some might say, well, what do unions and cannabis have to do with each other? I'm here in California, and I'm glad to have her with us. Kristen is also an international rep of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, works closely with cannabis industry professionals across the nation to meet compliance and ordinance requirements mandated by local, county, and state regulations. Now, her role in the industry has been praised by political leaders, labor leaders, industry leaders. What is she doing? She's educating and empowering individuals that support fair wages and benefits in the industry. And this is, as you know, a very important and fast-growing industry. Kristen, Teamsters joined with experts this past summer in August to discuss the future of the cannabis industry, which is fledgling, what it means for jobs in the wake of additional states that are one by one legalizing the distribution and the sale of marijuana, of cannabis specifically, which was once illegal. We know it's legal in Oregon. We know it's legal in Washington. We know it's legal in California. Florida just passed legislation to approve the legalization of marijuana, cannabis for medicinal purposes. So talk to us about what it means for jobs in this industry, because there are so many states, and I'm sure more are going to come forth, not only seeing the economic benefits of this industry, but obviously the medicinal benefits to so many who suffer from chronic pain and even terminal conditions.
Yeah, so our work has been, you know, we've got a couple of different hands in this. This started really on the legislative side and really pushing when in California cannabis we operated for 20 years. We called it legal, but we didn't actually have any regulatory framework in place. And so a lobbyist here in Sacramento that I work with, Barry Broad, worked on adding labor peace language to that legislation with the desire to bring some of the benefits of a union membership and union representation to a group of workers that have really been underrepresented for so long. So we're talking about an industry that's operated underground. They've made their own rules. They've managed to, you know, put food on their table and support their families. But there's a number of things that happen in the industry that are just that are illegal that we can't do, such as, you know, not paying trimmers or not giving workers protective gear if they're handling things like pesticides and volatile chemicals and things like that. And so really this started with us seeing a large group of workers coming into a legal space and needing that representation, needing to have someone to call if things were going bad for them. And so, like I said, we started legislatively and working through different cities and counties to make sure that these cannabis businesses, in an effort to come up from underground and come out from the darkness and operate, under the rules and regulations of the state of California and also their locals or the cities and counties, but also understanding what they can and can't do to workers. And that's a huge thing because this industry is employing thousands of people and thousands of people that that need protections from a labor union. And when I started Leslie, I had a lot of people tell me, you know, the cannabis industry, you know, we treat our workers really well. We don't need to have a union. But every week, and sometimes daily, I receive messages of people who were either fired or let go without just cause. This is, as you mentioned, a new industry, and there things are changing, and they're going to need to understand some of the things that they can and can't do with their workers.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with formerly Christine, now Kristen, just joking, Kristen, Heidelbach Terremoto, 15-year vet of the Teamsters. We're going to talk about more with her as an international rep of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, and also talk more specifically about cannabis, the industry, professionals, and what it means to people in this fast-growing state-by-state legality with regard to cannabis, medical use, and even recreational use of marijuana going forward for workers and why unions need to be involved. I'm Leslie Marshall. We'll be back after this with our guest. Don't go away.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, take out TCB.
My favorite song by the Queen there, Leslie Marshall, Queen of Talk. Kristen Heidelbach Terremoto, you might say, one of the queens at the Teamsters, currently heading the Teamsters State of California Cannabis Division. Kristen, thank you for holding. Welcome back. We were talking with Kristen before the break about how the unions are working hard, and Kristen and the Teamsters leading the charge on this, to pay workers fairly in the cannabis industry. I want to point out that there was an annual Netroots Nation conference, and union leaders, workers, and industry authorities all agreed that hundreds of thousands of hardworking Americans could benefit from the ground-up creation of a now legitimized industry. But it can only happen if unions and elected officials can come together to craft rules that bring transparency to the process. Barry Broad, the Teamsters chief lobbyist here in California, said, quote, "This industry was an all-underground industry until recently, and the Teamsters are the enemy of the underground economy. We want people to pay their taxes and get social securities." Now, Kristen, the union, they want workers to have protections. But let's talk about it, because, you know, a lot of people don't realize how far those protections extend. You're talking about health care. You're talking about safety. You're talking about law enforcement issues, because all of these continue to be a challenge when state and federal laws are running counter to one another. There's no uniform standard out there.
No. Some of the issues that we've come across are, you know, here in California, it's really left up to the jurisdiction to decide how much they want to engage with the industry. And so that means some areas are just going to have, you know, distribution and processing, and other areas may have, you know, they'll open up certain areas like San Francisco and Oakland, where they allow every arm of the industry, where they've got retail. So the problem that you have in this situation is you could have a distribution driver who needs to get product, you know, from, say, Humboldt down into L.A., and while he's moving through L.A. County or some other area that historically had a ban, things have changed, then what you're left with are drivers that are being profiled and pulled over. The contents of their truck are taken and then arrested. So at our Netroots panel, we actually had I had Richie Rodriguez, who is a driver for River Distribution, who's under contract with the Teamsters, who went through that. And my phone calls to law enforcement, they basically told me that they're profiling certain drivers. They know what to look for in terms of the trucks, because these trucks have to have, they have to meet certain qualifications to be on the road. That is a concern that we have. California is a huge state, so California looks very different from the rest of the nation because our cannabis economy is massive, and our state is massive, so moving product is not something that's easy to do.
It's interesting because you read my mind on a couple of things. Let's go back to drivers being arrested. I want to talk about Richard Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. He is a distribution driver with RVR Distribution here in California. They're a local 853 union. He is a member. He experienced that firsthand, which you were talking about. He's arrested while transporting marijuana, taken into custody, held for 15 hours, and he even credited the Teamsters helping to sort the issue and having the charges dropped. Quote, "No one has ever offered me that kind of protection. We need the Teamsters because they have those relationships." Can you expand on that just a little bit? Because I don't think people realize, that it right now, because laws are very new, even law enforcement officials mm-hmm. are kind of confused as to what laws are, especially when they vary state to state.
That is something that, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's a huge piece of this that we're going through. We've come across certain areas where law enforcement is very informed about what they can and can't do, and then there's other areas that where it just depends on sometimes the chip on the sheriff's shoulder, depending on what happens in that area. So when Richie reached out to myself and also the business agent, and so I made a couple phone calls with law enforcement where I had some relationships, and I called Barry Broad, and he reached out, and so the situation was taken care of, and Richie was released, and so yes, we do things, go into planning commission meetings, board of supervisor meetings, city council, and really help this industry, and help make that connection between the electeds and labor and cannabis, and we also when we can help out in situations such as Richie's.
I also so much to talk about with this. I want to talk about what you mentioned regarding California, and that the efforts might be easier in a state like California, where the cannabis industry actually agreed to a labor peace agreement that requires businesses to remain neutral in worker organizing efforts. Is it easier in California than, let's say, Colorado? Is it more challenging in Colorado because the law is not as union-friendly in a state like that?
No, and I'm going to be really honest with you here, Leslie. When you take a group of folks that are actually operated underground for many, many years, and you explain to them that a labor peace agreement is something that is required, right now in California, we are battling for every transaction that takes place in the legal market, there are 7 transactions that take place still today in the underground market. So it would be hard for me to say that California is much easier. I think it's going to take some time for people to realize that we're actually, and some groups have, and some groups see the benefit of having a relationship with the Teamsters, and what we can do, and that we're not a consultant that's charging them $10,000 to $15,000 a month, and that it's going to take some time for the rest of those folks to actually see that we're a benefit, and that we can bring value to their business. So are people running in wanting to sign labor peace agreements? Not necessarily, but we do, the industry's changing, and there's, different players now, and those folks do understand that a relationship with labor is beneficial.
And speaking
so
of that,
when I look at Colorado, when I look at some other places, it just really depends on what that particular state has gone through with labor. Colorado has come across some labor organizing in the cannabis industry. It wasn't initially the Teamsters. This was a few years ago. And some of them have a bad taste in their mouth with that experience. And so those are some other things that we fight and help people understand that we are actually a benefit.
I want to speak to that specifically, two things that you just said, and even go a step further. Ophelia Chong, founder of Stock Pot Images, a longtime figure in the cannabis industry, said that mm-hmm. unions like the Teamsters play an important role in offering support, especially for female workers, because they traditionally have faced harassment, even fell victim to sexual assault. She said, quote, "I would like to see a lot of women in the cannabis industry become Teamsters, because then we are breaking two stereotypes, the Teamster stereotype and the stoner stereotype." Can you speak to that as a woman?
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because a lot of I've worked in, as you mentioned, I've been a Teamster for 15 years. I've been working in the cannabis industry for almost three. And one thing that people always tell me is, you know, you don't really look like a Teamster, which I always ask myself, what does a Teamster exactly look like, right? Because we've got nurses, we've got, you know, folks in law enforcement. It's not just, you know, truck drivers and warehouse guys. We cover so much ground, and I really think as an organization, and my experience with the Teamsters is that we really have a strong female base, and we really work to support one another. So I would love to see more and more, and the cannabis industry is very supportive, actually, of women. There are two sides to every story, right? So there are some folks that are bad players, and then you're going to have others where I see these fantastic women like Ophelia Chong and Kimberly Cargyle, you know, at the head of, you know, some fantastic cannabis businesses. And but I will tell you that I think that there is a stereotype there of what a Teamster looks like or what a Teamster is. And I've found it to be a really positive aspect of my life.
Wow, awesome. I have two more questions, and I hope I can get both of these in. Ricardo Baca, a former cannabis journalist with the Denver Post, he's founder and chief executive of the Grasslands Public Relations Firm. He said that there was an effort to organize in Pueblo, Colorado, back in 2015, and specifically in the marijuana business. He said it was snuffed out. It led to the firing of the main employee involved in the effort. We know there are many challenges the cannabis industry faces. Are these continued challenges in individuals trying to organize? We constantly see people fighting unions and the Teamsters stepping in and go, wait a minute, let these people have their, they have a right to unionize. They have a right to unionize and to organize to unionize.
Here's how I feel about that, and I'll be brief. I feel that any cannabis business that blocks us and does not want us to come in has something to hide because they fear the oversight or at least to have, you know, someone telling them possibly what they can and can't do, which is not our role. Our role is to obviously support the business and support the company. We want them to survive because if they survive, we have members. But that is certainly a concern. I'm trying to keep it short for you, Leslie, so you can get your other question in.
Yeah, because I really want to talk about this. This month was there was International Women's Day. It was on the 8th of March. The Green Market Report, which focuses on the financial news of the rapidly growing cannabis industry, decided to put together a list of 115 women in the industry that have collectively moved the industry forward with all of their hard work. And the goal of this list is to thank and celebrate all of the women who have dedicated their precious time to the advancement of cannabis globally. You've been included on the list as one of the women honored for their work. Congratulations, first off. High five, girlfriend. Please speak to
Thank
that
you.
Green Market Report and being on this list of 115 women in the industry.
Thank you so much. I'm honored, but I am also, I will be the first to tell you that this is not a single person job. I've got a fantastic organization behind me with lots of people that work really hard. And it's definitely a team effort.
We have a little more than 60 seconds, but in the last minute here, something maybe I didn't ask, we didn't cover, that you really want to impress upon our listeners.
Oh, what I try to tell people all the time is that if they actually sit down and have a conversation and learn more, just the same way people out there are afraid of cannabis and they're afraid of what they think it could do to their community or their children, I feel the same stigma sometimes with Teamsters. If they understood what we did and the value that we bring, I think that there would be a lot less fear. I think people are afraid of the cannabis industry. I think people who don't understand unions don't know what we do and they're afraid of us. And those are two of my main missions.
And I like that you say that. You know, I spoke to the women's annual Teamster convention a couple of years ago, and I didn't know they had so many women in the Teamsters myself, even though I'm a big fan of the Teamsters and, you know, Teamsters, you know, great fan and supporters of the show. So I really commend that you want to do that. And I think we do need to have more of that and change that image. Thank you so much to our guest today.
Leslie.
Thank you, Kristen Heidelbach-Terremoto. Hey, by the way, folks, visit the Teamsters online, teamster.org. Follow them on Twitter, @Teamsters. Like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Teamsters. And how about Kristen? Give her a shout-out on her Twitter, her handle, her Twitter page. Her handle is @LadyCannabis7, LadyCannabis7.